Welcome to Until Green Card Do Us Part. In this episode, we'll discuss the issues immigration-based marriage fraud or marriages made a few feet short of heaven create. I'm your host, John Sampson, CEO of CSI Consulting. This show is brought to you by CSI Consulting, a technical legal consulting firm that assists U.S. citizens and their attorneys dealing with immigration, marriage fraud, and other visa fraud issues since 2009. Okay, so let's get into it, and let's talk about marriages made a few feet short of heaven for green card purposes. Let's say you've met the love of your life and have decided they're the one for you, and you're ready and anxious to tie the knot. However, there is just one small, little issue affecting this budding romance of the century. Your intended is not a citizen of the United States, nor do they have a green card, and you're wondering, how in the hell do I deal with this minor inconvenience? They may be here on a student visa, here as a tourist, or some other temporary visa, and it's someone you may have met at a bar or a restaurant, or you met them online on one of the myriad dating sites on the internet, or met on a blind date. For all intents and purposes, they could be living in another country, and again, you met them online on a dating site. What could even be worse yet is they're here illegally in the country, having snuck across the border or having jumped ship. I say worse yet because aliens who illegally enter the U.S. come with their own set of unique problems, and trust me when I say this, they are not pleasant problems. Consistent estimates by the former INS and the current USCIS and ICE indicate that fully 30% of all immigration-based marriages are fraudulent, and they were entered into simply for the alien to get a much-desired green card by evading, avoiding, or circumventing the immigration laws of the United States. This is what's meant by marriage fraud or a sham marriage. Now, understand this. Marriage fraud is a federal felony under the immigration laws of the United States. The law states, and I quote, "Any individual who knowingly enters into a marriage for the purpose of evading any provision of the immigration laws shall be imprisoned for not more than 5 years, or not fined more than $250,000, or both." You can find this at Title 8 United States Code, Section 1325, parentheses small c. Historically, marriage to a U.S. citizen has always been the most popular way for an alien to gain permanent residency in the United States, also known as getting a green card. And ultimately, it leads to an expedited path to U.S. citizenship. It is undeniable that marriage fraud has been going on since the introduction of the very first immigration laws in the United States. In the past few years, the government has tightened up employment-based visa requirements and has also implemented a number of policies to effectively detect and deport illegal aliens, even those without a criminal record. These stricter policies have led more and more aliens to resort to marriage fraud as a means by which to get a green card and ultimately get U.S. citizenship. Now, one motive for an alien to engage in marriage fraud is chain migration. It's when one alien from a family comes to the United States, gets a green card, usually through marriage to a U.S. citizen or by some other means, and then becomes a U.S. citizen through naturalization. And then, thanks to the generosity of the American people, can file paperwork to get their mother, their father, all of their brothers and sisters, and their brothers and sisters' spouses and children immigrant visas to come to the land of the big PX, or what Nigerians affectionately call the U.S., the land of milk and honey. And that simple fact alone is a major motive for an alien to engage in marriage fraud. For a marriage to be valid under immigration law, it's not enough that the couple has a real marriage ceremony and gets all the right governmental stamps on their marriage certificate. They have to intend to live in a real marital relationship, namely to establish a life together following the marriage ceremony, and prove their intention through their actions. If the couple doesn't intend to establish a life together, their marriage is considered a sham by USCIS and ICE. There are two types of marriage fraud. There's the traditional type, and then there's the one that's the fraudulently induced into marriage type. In a traditional marriage fraud scheme, the alien pays an agreed upon sum of money to a U.S. citizen to enter into a sham marriage, set up fictitious joint residency, financial accounts, staged pictures, and then goes to the USCIS adjustment of status interview, pretending to be lovebirds, holding their hands and kissing each other in front of the adjudicator, when in fact they're not intending to establish a life together. Part of that arrangement is that they never live together to begin with, much less engage in intimacy. Now, shortly after they get the green card for the alien and the citizen divorce and go their separate ways. And this is something we will discuss in a later episode. What I'd like to discuss today is the fraudulently induced marriage scheme perpetrated by aliens upon unsuspecting or naive U.S. citizens. Many aliens have become so desperate recently to the point of faking a whole relationship for months and even years and playing with people's feelings just to get a green card and a foot in the door. This fraud is perpetrated by aliens either living in the U.S. illegally or on student visas, tourist visas, or other similar temporary non-immigrant visas that are either expired or will soon expire, or they're living abroad and casting their net on the internet by posting ads on dating sites or marriage broker sites seeking marriage to an American. This fraud is perpetrated by both men and women and upon heterosexuals and the gay community as well. Sexual orientation is not an issue. I've had both heterosexual and gay clients, and the fraud is just as heinous and pernicious to gay citizens as it is to heterosexual citizens. This episode is aimed at giving some basic advice on how to recognize a potential marriage fraud. First and foremost, let's get this out of the way. I'm not an attorney. Even though I've gone to law school, I do not have a license to practice law, nor do I engage in the unauthorized practice of law. I work with attorneys, not against them. So with that in mind, let's proceed. We are assuming you, the citizen, finds themselves in love with the foreign national and you have already discussed marriage and you are more or less engaged. Now, a good starting point in determining whether your fiancé is just interested in marrying you for their green card is to examine the basic factors that U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services consider as fraud indicators or red flags. While there may be plenty of legitimate relationships where one or more of these factors exist, it is important to be aware of them. Let's start with age. If there is a 10-year or more difference in ages between you and the love of your life, you need to ask yourself if you're possibly being played and defrauded. I've seen confirmed marriage fraud cases where one party was in their 50s and they married someone in their early 20s. Needless to say, that marriage was made a few feet short of heaven. That's not to say that some May-September relationships, as they are often referred to, work out just fine. However, reality tells us there is very little a couple who are separated by a large age difference have in common. It's not an absolute, but merely one of many fraud indicators that we look at. Perhaps an actual case is in order. Indel King, at the time he met and married Anastasia Soloveva, was a 38-year-old, 5'8" tall, 285-pound, balding American male. Anastasia Soloveva was an 18-year-old, strikingly tall, vivacious, beautiful young woman, emphasis on the word young, from Kazakhstan, the former Soviet Union. There was a 20-year age difference between the two when they met and married. Now, he met her on an online dating site where she posted a profile of herself seeking an American husband. They communicated. He then traveled to Kazakhstan, met her and her parents, proposed marriage to her with the parents' acceptance and approval. She accepted, and he brought her to America as his fiance and married her within the 90 days of her getting here as required by the fiance visa, just like you see it on 90 Day Fiance on the Learning Channel. And then, when he believed she was taking him for a ride just to get a green card, as did his first Russian wife, Indel King, and his gay lover, killed her. He's still in prison in the state of Washington after being sentenced to 29 years in prison in 2002. You might ask yourself, what was King thinking? And what was Anastasia thinking? Obviously, she wanted a green card and was willing to marry someone old enough to be her father. And unfortunately, that decision tragically cost her her life. What's really troubling is that her parents signed her up for the dating site, specifically hoping she would find and marry an American. In other words, they put her out there in the hopes that she'd find an American to marry, get a green card, then become a U.S. citizen, and then bring mommy and daddy over from Kazakhstan. Now, there's more to this sad story, and it was profiled on A&E Network on American Justice with Bill Curtis, but it'll have to wait for another day. Someone who believes that a person half their age or twice their age, in other words, young enough to be their daughter or son, or old enough to be their mother or father, is marrying them out of love and devotion, is in serious need of an intervention. If the love of your life has recently, within a year or so, divorced their prior spouse, but wants to jump into a new marriage with you right away, it's very possible that they are trying to marry you for a green card. This is especially true if their ex-spouse is living in the United States without legal status or an expiring visa, or better yet, they're getting married to a U.S. citizen as well. Now, this is how one variation of a scam would work. A foreign couple fictitiously divorce. They marry other people who are U.S. citizens, both of them. They both get their green cards through their U.S. citizen spouses. They both seek divorces from their U.S. citizen spouses once they get their green cards, and then magically and miraculously get back together, green cards in hand, for both of them. This is especially true if the couple have a child or multiple children together and are seeking to start a new life in the United States. Culture factors into the situation as well. The whole issue of the clash of cultures is something we need to look at. Someone from a third world country views things totally differently than someone who has been raised in an industrial country such as the U.S. There is no commonality. There are no common beliefs. There are no common experiences. And if there is no common cultural ground, one has to ask what the motive for marriage might be. Add to that the potential for a language barrier, and things become really interesting really quick. If you and your intended cannot speak the same language fluently, is it possible that they do not see a marriage with you as something being permanent? That's a question you have to ask yourself. It is unrealistic to believe that you could be forever in love or with someone you can't fully communicate with. Ask yourself this question. If my fiance doesn't speak English, can't understand me, and I can't understand her or speak her language or his language, then why, pray tell, are they marrying me in the first place? Could it be that they just want a green card and that they're going to leave me as soon as they get it? Please don't tell me, well, you got to understand, love conquers all, or the other ditty, the language of love will prevail. Anyone who might suggest that is being unrealistic and naive and refusing to accept reality. The corresponding idea that they will grow to love me, after all. Look what I've done for them. I took them out of an impoverished country and brought them to America. That belief is also unrealistic, naive, and wishful thinking. So let's try this out for size. You meet someone from another country online. You communicate via Skype, WhatsApp, FaceTime, etc. You go to their country and meet them for the very first time and meet their family, perhaps, perhaps not. And almost immediately upon your arrival, they begin pressuring you to get engaged and get married. I don't know about you, but do you see anything suspicious? I see something suspicious about this. As I said, I don't know about you. This is one of the most recurring situations I've encountered in my private practice, which has been going on now for 11 years. If an alien you are involved with starts testing your feelings about marriage almost immediately upon meeting, chances are they are looking to get a green card through a marriage to you. After all, they don't even know you. And they're willing to enter into a marriage, supposedly, until death do you part. And it's more likely entering into a marriage until green card do you part. Don't be afraid of asking the love of your life if they have any ability whatsoever to either enter the United States, come to the United States, or remain in the United States if they're already here, in a legal status as an immigrant, besides getting married to you. While it's become very hard to obtain a work visa, it's certainly not impossible, especially for someone with advanced degrees or a demonstrated unique employment skill. Now, this may sound a bit harsh, but consider this. If the only way an alien gets to remain in the United States is by marrying you, it would be rather foolish on your part not to consider the possibility that this is the only reason why they are with you and why they want to marry you. So I suggest you try this on for size. If you're truly serious about marrying them, to suggest the two of you go and seek the advice of a competent immigration attorney in order to explore alternatives to marriage for getting status in the United States. If they balk at this idea, if they say no, if they hesitate, you might want to talk to your family or friends about all of this and get their opinion on this. And we're going to get into family in just a moment. But you need to talk to your family. This shouldn't be a decision you make unilaterally without anybody else's involvement. So this brings us up to another fraud indicator. If the love of your life, the person who wishes to establish a life with you until death do you part, as opposed to until green card do you part, does not want you to discuss their immigration status or your impending nuptials with your family, or they try to drive a wedge between you and your family, demanding that you not talk to them, you might want to stand up and take notice, and you might want to get an intervention. What is likely going on is that your intended does not want you talking to anyone who may convince you that your intended is looking to marry you simply to get a green card, and the people you talk to may try to talk you out of it. While we're at it, it's very important that you ask your fiancé about their immigration history. For instance, some aliens manage to get work visas through bogus employers. Many others simply buy counterfeit green cards and Social Security cards on the black market. Lying to an immigration officer at a port of entry, telling them that they're here to be a tourist when in fact they intend on working here illegally and living here, buying counterfeit documents in order to project the lawful status in this country that they don't have, and other unlawful acts that are criminal in nature involving immigration fraud are clear indications that they are capable of and predisposed to committing immigration fraud itself. Ask the love of your life if they have a Social Security card, and if so, how did they get it? If you're not sure they have a real Social Security card and they show you one and your instincts are telling you this just doesn't look good, this is what I recommend you do. Tell your fiancé your credit history is very important to you and that they should also sign up with a credit monitoring service such as Credit Karma, Experian, Equifax, or TRW, or TransUnion. This is especially true if you are thinking of commingling your assets or credit with them. If they are using a Social Security number that is not theirs, that they bought on the black market, it is more likely than not they will obviously find any possible excuse not to use such a credit monitoring service. By the way, misuse of a Social Security number is a federal felony as well, good for up to 5 years in federal prison and or up to a $10,000 fine or both. And that's the same for using a counterfeit or having a counterfeit green card. When you enter into a marriage, it's more than just two people coming together to live together. It's the blending of two families. So it's important, extremely so, that you meet your fiancé's parents in person. In most cultures, parents would not tolerate that their son or daughter is only getting married for a green card for that very reason. However, that's not an absolute, as we'll see in a minute. Be particularly careful if your fiancé tells you that they don't speak to their parents. In such cases, it is very possible that they are simply hiding their sham marriage plans from them. It's also extremely important that they meet your family as well. Any hesitancy on their part in meeting and interacting with your family should be a warning sign that they are not really interested in establishing a life with you over the long haul, which would, out of necessity, involve your parents, siblings, and friends. In less frequent cases, it's even possible that your fiancé's parents are involved in the sham themselves. Keeping in mind that your future in-laws can get a green card through their son or daughter once they become a U.S. citizen. They may even be here in the United States illegally and are looking for a way for the entire family to get permanent residence. In most cultures, the marriage of their children is taken very seriously by parents. To make sure your fiancé and their family are being truthful to you, tell them that you and your family want to have a formal religious ceremony. If your fiancé would rather get married in a city hall or a courthouse without family and friends, you might want to seek someone's advice or have an intervention. When I worked with ICE and investigated suspected marriage fraud cases, we would routinely have USCIS adjudicators ask couples at the adjustment of status interview with them who attended the wedding. If the answer was, well, it was just a couple of friends at the courthouse or the city county clerk's office or nobody, we'd ask the natural follow-up question, which is, does your family even know that you got married? You'd be amazed as to the number of times we were told, no, they don't know. We haven't told them yet. And that, boys and girls, is one major fraud indicator. Needless to say, we called the citizens' parents and discussed their son's or daughter's marriage to an alien, and these conversations invariably proved to be very interesting and informative. Let's talk about children. USCIS has an institutional bias as it relates to children born from a marriage. They believe if a couple has a child, or better yet, multiple children, it is a strong indicator that the marriage is bona fide. I vehemently disagree. All having children proves is that the couple engaged in intimate relations resulting in the woman becoming pregnant. It's been my experience that immigrants engaged in marriage fraud, both women and men, oftentimes have children in a callous ploy to prove to USCIS that marriage is bona fide. I stopped counting the number of marriage fraud cases where children were brought into this world simply because the so-called immigrant parent wanted an insurance policy against deportation by believing that they couldn't be deported if they had a U.S. citizen child or children, and that having a child would prove the marriage was bona fide, even though every single fraud indicator was present. Time for some final thoughts. Walking away from someone you love and believe is the love of your life is extremely difficult. But remember this, the pain you will suffer walking away from them now will be nothing compared to the pain you will experience when you realize that they only married you for a green card. The possibility they will allege domestic violence against you is a very real thing to consider, and the pain that allegation would cause would be far more excruciating than simply being dumped. What I've just outlined is considered and should be taken as food for thought. None of these scenarios should be considered absolute proof, positive evidence that your fiancé is marrying you simply to get a green card. But if you have doubts, I strongly urge you to consult with your family, your friends, your spiritual advisor, as well as a reputable immigration attorney so you can learn what all of your responsibilities will be should you, in fact, marry an alien and petition for them to get a green card. We've just scratched the surface of this issue, and future episodes will be even more informative. In our next episode, we will discuss the whole issue of conditional permanent residence, aka the 2-year green card, how it works, why it was created, and when, and the pitfalls one might see if their marriage was made a few feet short of heaven. If you believe you are the victim of immigration marriage fraud or are facing fabricated allegations of domestic violence or worse, made by a foreign-born spouse or intimate partner, contact CSI Consulting at 719-368-2626. That's 719-368-2626. Or you can email CSI Consulting at CSIinvestigations, with an S at the end, at NetEason, that's NETECIN.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.